Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our This or That podcast with me, Rob.
And me, Dahlia.
Hey, Dahlia, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, doing great. Anything new, anything interesting or exciting since we did our last podcast?
I'm sweating a lot more. The weather is getting hotter.
That is interesting.
Yes. Mm. So I'm doing that thing that we do every year where we complain about summer and forget that it happens every year, so we shouldn't be surprised.
This is absolutely true. Even though it does happen every year, I think it doesn't make it any easier.
It's true, it's true. You know, I actually just thought of something I've done, and it sounds really boring, but anyone who's done it will understand that it's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
I actually put up some curtains recently.
That is an important thing to do.
It's a very big deal.
Especially in summertime.
If anybody has moved into a house or flat recently, they know what a huge pain in the bum curtains are. Finding the right ones, because every room is, you know, windows are different sizes. You need to find the ones you like. They need to be the right material. You need to measure them. One of my students actually told me that her sister avoided it for so long that she didn't hang curtains for 6 years. And I was like, I get it.
This is a funny thing. My brother bought a very nice and very, very large house. It's very, very beautiful. But the room that my wife and I stay in when we go down to visit him, he still hasn't put curtains up in it.
So you wake up at 5 a.m., right?
Yes, but also the thing about it is it's quite funny because everything in the house is modern and beautiful and wonderful. And then there's just this large piece of cardboard that we put up where the windows are. And it kind of ruins, I think, the effect that he's going for with the interior design.
The ambiance.
Yeah, the ambiance.
You see, there you go. It is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you've got that done. So that's decent.
Thank you. It's a very adult thing, isn't it, to be happy that you've hung curtains?
I think I'd be very happy if I did it as well, because it's something that naturally I would feel, oh, I don't know how to do that, and oh, I'd probably get it wrong and stuff. So if I did successfully get curtains hung, I would probably be pretty happy with myself.
Thank you. Well, how are you doing? How's life with you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Because the weather is getting nicer, been going out into nature in an area called the Peak District in the UK.
Oh, I love the Peak District. I used to live in Manchester, so that was on our doorstep.
Absolutely. So the Peak District is so big that it's sort of reasonable to get to it from many different cities. Manchester's one, Sheffield is another, and it's kind of the area of it that we went to is close to Derbyshire.
Mm.
So yeah, it was an absolute fairy tale.
Wow.
I said to my wife when we were there, I said, I cannot believe that this place exists.
Wow. Picturesque.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Huge rolling hills, all green, stone walls everywhere.
Oh, I love that.
Blue sky, white cloud.
Sheep.
Absolutely. Lots of sheep, lots of cows, lots of horses.
Oh, bliss.
Looked like Switzerland. If anyone knows what kind of the idea of Switzerland when you go on holiday is, that's exactly what it looked like. And I just couldn't believe that somewhere like this exists about 1 hour away from my front door. I was amazed.
1 hour away from, of course, Nottingham, yeah. Wow. See, that's the beauty of the Midlands. You can get to the north, the south.
Absolutely. So yes, we went there and we had a wonderful time. And then we had a picnic. And then we were deciding, well, we said what we always do when we spend some time in nature, which is, why don't we spend more time in nature?
Yeah, classic.
Why are we always spending time in the city and like in the towns and stuff? We should, this is where we feel the best. So why aren't we spending more time here?
Yeah, I had the exact same thing happen to me when I went camping. Oh, and this is not planned, but this is actually related to our topic today, right?
Somewhat. I mean, so travel is certainly part of our topic today.
Mm-hmm.
We have a this and we have a that. And the this, it's really hard to say that. The this that we're looking at today is if buying souvenirs is a must when you travel, meaning is it a really important thing that you have to do, or is it just a complete waste of money?
Mm.
So, Dahlia, what do you think? Do you think it's a great idea, or do you think it's a waste of money?
Well, I'm really torn on this one, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, right? I mean, just both, as usual. I mean, if I had to really pick one, I'd probably say it's a waste of money because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we can all agree that we are all under the spell of consumerism and we all buy way too much stuff. But also, you know, I've talked a lot about minimalism and how I think it's not actually the best idea because I don't want to live in a house with no personality, no sentiment, nothing special. So, and I do like, you know, I do love having stuff that I really value. I take care of my possessions. And I've got some lovely stuff which I've kept, you know, from years and years and years ago. Like I have this beautiful hand-woven bag from Bosnia. And I have, I can see right now, a hand-woven wall hanging from Azerbaijan. I didn't go to Azerbaijan, but I got it from a woman who's from there. So I do love having beautiful stuff that, you know, means something to me. And I don't just want to, you know, live in a house with nothing and thinking about money and saving money every second of my life. But on the other hand, like most people, I'm constantly complaining that I have too much stuff, constantly spending most of my free time cleaning and dusting that stuff and organizing my house. So maybe the joke's on me. Maybe I shouldn't keep buying stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm also very torn, I should say. I find it difficult to pick one. I think it's interesting. If most teachers did a podcast like this, it would be very short because they'd say, oh, it's worth doing. Okay, bye. But for you and I, it's like, well, no, this is a much deeper question about human existence and we must discuss it in all detail. So I think it depends on whether the souvenir is actually going to link you to those feelings that you had when you were in the place or not.
Mm.
And also if over time they are going to continue to have that kind of effect. One thing I've mentioned to some of my students is the example that I bought a painting to put in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I walked into the room with the painting for the first 2 weeks, I noticed the painting immediately
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't there before. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah, the painting's there and the painting's very beautiful and lovely. But now I don't notice the painting at all when I come into the room.
Yeah.
It still is beautiful and lovely, but I've gotten used to it.
They say that, yeah, this is one of the reasons for consumerism because what we're actually buying is novelty. You know, the state of something being new and interesting. And I think about this all the time. Like, you know, you go to some people's houses, like older people's houses, grandparents, and all their stuff is really, really old because they haven't, you know, fallen into the trap. And that means they have to deal every day with seeing the same thing over and over again and not having that real exciting feeling that novelty gives you. So maybe it's all in the mind.
I mean, novelty is good, but also our capacity, oh, I'm going to sound very fancy here. Our capacity for novelty is never ending.
Yeah.
We will never get to the point when we're not interested in more novelty. However, the space in our houses, at least for the vast majority of people, is not only limited, but extremely limited.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you will, at this point, my wife would just be saying, oh, for goodness sake, just buy the souvenir or don't.
Yeah.
But no, I would be content. No, we need to think about this deeply because if you select something, you're either going to get bored of it, the novelty will wear off and you will get rid of it after a short period of time. Is it worth it for how long the novelty lasts? Maybe, maybe not. But if you're going to buy something and you are thinking that I'm going to keep this for a long time because this is so wonderful, then it has to kind of be better than nearly all the other stuff in your house at the moment.
Hmm. Interesting equation.
Yeah, because it's kind of, you haven't got much space. And if you're going to give that space to something, it should be to the best things.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, this relates to my theory on minimalism. You've heard this many times. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, but space is really the key because it's easy to say to someone, oh, you have too much stuff, like you're a hoarder. But that's usually because they live in a small space. So I always use the example of Kim Kardashian when she has this huge, huge mansion. You know, it's easy to say she's a minimalist because she has all of the space in the world to put her stuff. Do you know what I mean? So it really, I think your the space that you live in really determines whether you are a minimalist with a capital M or not.
I suppose that's true, but I also wonder, there will be people who have extremely big mansions, but they will still fill it.
Yeah, exactly.
With stuff. So maybe that's a, I'm going to relate it to a completely different topic because that's what my brain tends to do. But I suppose it's similar to if someone earns a huge amount of money, but they still spend all of their money before the end of the month and they don't save any of it.
Yeah.
That could be a similar thing. I don't know. I do value space in my house, but my wife and I have been caught up in the excitement of being in places abroad and in the UK and bought things that we still don't have a place for in our house.
Well, there you go. So I think what you said before, like about the money, having more money and spending it more, just goes to show that perhaps the key is, I don't know what the key is. I'm not an expert, but doing things intentionally, right? So if you're going to buy souvenirs, do it intentionally and don't just buy it because it's an impulse buy. Plan to, as you said, make space for it, put it up in your home, you know, make it worth it, basically. But it depends, you know, what adds to your quality of life. Does having these things add to your quality of life? Great. Does having money and the security that money brings, does that add to your quality of life? Great. I mean, some people, I think if some people, if they're clever enough, they can do both, right? They can still save money, but also buy these beautiful things from these beautiful countries. I don't know. What do you think? Is it possible?
I think I would agree. I mean, there's also a lot of different kinds of souvenirs. So one souvenir that my parents have, and my parents have been to a lot of different countries, is they have a small flag from every single country that they've been to.
Oh, my dad has that as well, and he has football shirts from every country that he's been associated with.
That's perfect. So, so this is an example of something that doesn't cost very much money. They're just small plastic flags, but they might still do the task of connecting you to how you felt about the place.
Oh, yeah.
One last thing I should probably also say was advice from someone on YouTube who actually said, if you go to a place and you want to remember how you felt when you were there, don't buy souvenirs. Write a small diary entry at the end of each day, or, you know, you're busy because you're traveling, maybe do it after the trip. And they said that this is really valuable because a lot of people tend to take photographs when they're on trips, of course. That will show you what the things looked like. But if you want to remember how you felt...
Yeah, that's really nice.
Then you probably, the best way to do that is to put that into words and write it down, either at the time, if that's perfect, or if you're busy, then shortly after the holiday.
What a great excuse to buy a new notebook. I mean, I think that's a great example of... I think souvenirs can be bought responsibly, let's say. If it means something to you, like, I think it's really cool when people already have an interest, like... My dad's partner does what you said. She buys, in every new place, she buys a new pair of earrings. Very small. Doesn't take up a lot of room. I saw a video of someone once who's really into perfume. And every time they go somewhere, they get perfume that reminds them of that place. And it has this distinct memory. I think that's really cool. Like, I tend to, when I go to a new place, I often buy like a pen from that place. And especially if it's unique to that place, you know, if it's maybe made in that country or there's some special connection, I think that's a great way to buy souvenirs because it actually means something and adds to a collection that you already had.
Yeah.
You're not just buying it because you've, you know, fell into the trap. You know, they have those tourist traps fill it with those tat shops. Tat means low quality products, which are kind of useless. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen a million of those on holiday. So I think we should probably end up changing the name of this podcast because it's not this or that. It's neither this or that.
I actually think I changed my mind. I should be a responsible human and not be contributing to consumerism, but screw that. I want beautiful things. So buying souvenirs wins.
You're contributing to the economy. I think we'd all thank you for that.
You're welcome.
There we go. Okay, perfect. So I hope everyone listening is having a lovely day. And yeah, we will, you will hear our voices in the next podcast.
Indeed. Take care and see you soon.
See you soon, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.